Psalm 136. Hear the word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for His mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant, for His mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. Let's pray and ask God to bless His word to us this morning. Our Father, we thank You for this portion of Your inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Oh Lord, we pray that by Your Spirit You would bless it to our understanding this morning. Help it to make us to be thankful. We pray for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, certainly this is a psalm about thanksgiving. It begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." The last verse, "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven." And so, it is a psalm which encourages us not simply to feel thankful, but to give thanks to God. And again, as I've already said at the service was beginning, it's not just about a feeling that's generally of thankfulness, gladness that we have what we have, or that things are going for us as well as they may be going, but a matter of giving thanks to God. We know also from Scripture that it is important to give thanks to God in everything and for everything. That the Scriptures teach us to give thanks even for the difficulties of life. Certainly these are difficult economic times. Various people have difficulties in their lives right now that maybe have nothing to do with the economy, but may be matters of health, maybe matters of relationships. Whatever those things are, we are to give thanks not just in the midst of all things, but for all things, because we have a sovereign God, and we know from Scripture that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And so we give thanks to God. Now, this passage, if you work your way through it, let me just show you how there's a bit of structure to it that is reminding us to give thanks and oftentimes for particular things. Verse 3, if you look at that, it's the last of three verses that in one way or another begin with, "Oh, give thanks to God," under whichever name it calls Him. And then verse 4 doesn't repeat that. It just says, "to Him," because it's already told us, "give thanks." So this is a continuing structure, "give thanks," now, to God in all these ways, and it begins to talk about Him and who He is and what He did without saying, "give thanks to Him." But the "to Him" at the beginning of verse 4 is obviously saying, "give thanks to Him, who alone does great wonders." Verse 5, "to Him." Verse 6, "to Him." Verse 7, "to Him." And then verse 7 starts a chain, "to Him who made great lights." Verse 8, "the sun to rule by day." You almost, to follow the outline, you more or less need to brush over, for the sake of the outline, those interjected, "for His mercy endures forever," that appears in every single verse. "But the sun to rule by day," verse 8. Verse 9, "the moon and stars to rule by night." Verse 10, another, "to Him who struck Egypt." Verse 11, "and brought out Israel." Verse 12, "He did that with a strong hand and an outstretched arm." Verse 13 repeats, "to Him who divided the Red Sea in two." 14, "and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh." Verse 16, "to Him who led His people through the wilderness." Verse 17, "to Him." Verse 18, and then lists those famous kings in verse 18, "and slew famous kings." 18, 19, Sihon, 20, Og. Those are kings that were defeated by the Jews upon their, as they were getting ready to enter into the promised land and before they crossed the Jordan. And gave their land, the land of those kings, as a heritage to Israel, His, God's servant. And then about God, verse 23, "who remembered us and rescued us," verse 24, "who gives food to all flesh," and then the closing of verse 26. So, I want us, having seen something of the structure, let me put that in the form of an outline. The first three verses and the last one are giving thanks to God for who He is. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods," verse 2. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." And then in verse 26, "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven." In our prayers and in our thanksgiving, do we think about who God is? The greatness and immensity of God. The fact that He is God over all, that He is not just God, He's God of gods. And there's no equal to God. He is Lord of lords. Again, that He has no equals. That He is the Lord. And in verse 1, it is Jehovah or Yahweh that is the word that is indicated by Lord there. In verse 7, where it calls Him Lord of lords, it is not that word, but a word that more like the word master. But He is that. He is above all. And so it's important to remember when we're giving thanks, who we're giving thanks to. Not just that it's God in some broad and general and vague sense, but it is the God of the Bible. It is Jehovah. It is the God who has revealed Himself and given us His name. When Moses said, Who will I tell the Jews sent me to bring them out so that they would actually follow me out of Egypt?" God says, "Tell them that Yahweh or Jehovah sent you. I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's the covenant God. And so we're to think about God in particular as being the source of our blessings and the object of our praise and thanksgiving. But then again, when you get to verse 4, there is a different section that really goes all the way down to the last verse. If the first part is who he is, the second part is what he's done. And that gets from verse 4 all the way through verse 25, essentially. And that breaks up this way. Verses 5 through 9, well, verse 4 is general. We're thanking him for what he has done. To him who alone does great wonders. All the great wonders, God did them. Not only that, but you catch that little word, alone. God alone does great wonders. Nobody else does great wonders. God alone. So what are some of these great wonders? We've talked about the general sense there in verse 4. Verses 5 through 9 give us a particular set of that, and that is creation. When we prayed earlier, we thanked God for his creation of all things. And so it's a creation, verse 5 tells us, by wisdom, and he made the heavens. He laid out the earth, verse 6 tells us. He made great lights, the sun and the moon and the stars. We're thankful for those things. We're thankful for creation, and that's why we prayed and thanked God for his creation in the prayer earlier. But then after that, it shifts to his providence, because when we're talking about what he's done, we're talking, well, his works of creation in verses 5 through 9, his works of providence, as our catechism divides it up, really beginning in verse 10, and the particular providences beginning in verse 10 are God's care for his covenant people. And this specifically is in bringing Israel out of Egypt and bringing them safely into the promised land through verse 22, where that land is a heritage to Israel, his servant. I want to just step back and think a little bit about God's taking care of his covenant people in our day. While, yes, we see sad things in the larger church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also see many good things. We see God's blessing. We see missionaries around the world. We see people being converted around the world. The gospel being taken to new people groups and people being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ as God extends his covenant and takes care of his covenant people. That's going on all the time. We're probably most aware of it as we apply that most particularly to our own situation, our own church, where God is taking care of us and providing for us. And we are thankful for that. But then in verses 23 and 24, that care of God's covenant people is narrowed down. It's not just the remote covenant people of history. It is us who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies. And then he broadens it back out to another part of God's general providence, who gives food to all flesh, not just all people, but the animals. God is the one who provides our food. I've told this story so many times as an illustration. I'll do it once again. If it's some of you have not heard me talk about it, though you may have seen the movie from which I get it. In the movie Shenandoah, which is a movie about, basically, it is about a man and his family. The man's wife had died. She was apparently a Christian woman. She had extracted from her husband before she died a promise to pray before meals. And so his prayer that they show us fairly early in the movie, before a meal of this farming family, went something like this. God, we planted our crops, we hoed them, we harvested them, we cooked them, and now we're going to eat them. Eat it, whatever. Amen. It's all in our hands, right? Nothing to be thankful for. No thankfulness that the rain came at the right time, that the crops actually did grow, that the seed was good seed and not bad seed. Nothing to thank God for. And that's the way a lot of people live. And a lot of Christians live too many of their days without any thankfulness to God for the blessings. You know, it's not just once a year that we need to be thankful. We are to be thankful every day. It is the characteristic of the non-Christian not to be thankful, not of the Christian. On Sunday nights, we're still going through the book of Romans. Early in the book of Romans was what I refer to as the bad news section, from Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 20. It's bad news because it shows that all are sinners and accountable to God and are under the wrath of God, which verse 18 in chapter 1 says is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In verse 21, in talking about the sinfulness of those who, at the end of verse 20, says are without excuse, it gives a reason in verse 21. Because although they knew Him, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. That's the non-Christian. And the Christian, even in the middle of difficulties, is thankful to God, does give thanks to God. And I want to encourage you to remember that that is the truth. But I want to point out the other aspect of the psalm which we have thus far passed over lightly. It's the hardest part to pass over in one sense because it's the most frequently repeated in every single verse. But at the same time, almost the monotony of the repetition can help us to miss it in favor of focusing, as we did for a few minutes, on the structure of the chapter, of the psalm. And the structure is important, and it reminds us that we are to give thanks for God as to God for who He is and for what He has done, and in terms of what He's done for His works of creation and providence, especially as those impact us and His covenant people. But every single verse reminds us that we thank God for His mercy endures forever. Now, the word endure is not literally there. It could be replaced in our translations with any of several other words. For His mercy is forever. His mercy lasts forever. Anything like that would be fine. His mercy forever. His mercy forever. Scripture says God does not change. James chapter 1 and verse 17. And this verse is a great one in general for Thanksgiving. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. If you just stop there, that is so true, and there's reason to give thanks. But it goes on. From the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is an immutable God, as the theologians talk about Him, unchanging. The Alpha and the Omega, the same from beginning to end. This is our God. And so the attribute of His mercy is an unchanging thing as well. Now, those of you that have a King James Version or a New King James Version indeed have the word mercy, but some of you in other translations may have the word lovingness. And there's a debate among scholars that I don't want to get too much into right now between whether the word, the Hebrew word that's used in each of these verses means loving kindness in a broad and general sense or a more narrowed loving kindness that we know as mercy. But certainly in light of the truth about us, and certainly in light of our lowly state referred to in verse 23, it is true that any loving kindness shown to us by God would take the form of mercy. Mercy means we don't deserve it. Mercy means we deserve the opposite. And so we give thanks to God. You know, if you want, as the psalmist gives us one reason over and over and over why we should be thankful, even if it feels like our world is falling apart around us and we can't see why we could be thankful, we have one reason, one sufficient reason, one good reason always to give thanks. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures for believers. When we sin, He's still merciful to us. He doesn't cast us off. He doesn't cast us immediately into hell. His mercy endures forever. It is part of the nature of God to have such mercy. He doesn't change in that. It is a part of His covenant to show mercy. That's why we call it the covenant of grace. We deserve condemnation from God and we're shown mercy. And then there's this hidden part. I say hidden because it's not explicit anywhere, but it's implicit in every verse because it's implicit every time the idea of mercy is addressed, which is in every single verse in this psalm. Mercy is shown to us in and only in Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. We have mercy from God because Christ died to take the wrath that we deserve. It is how God can be merciful and still just. So that at Thanksgiving, the biggest thing, and I want you to leave here knowing this, whatever's happening in your life, the biggest reason that a Christian has for being thankful is for salvation in Jesus Christ, because our mercy is a part of that salvation, the mercy shown to us. The only reason that we don't think more about it is because it is so easy for us to forget what horrible sinners we are, and how God looks at sin. He doesn't look at sin as a light thing. Even little sins are not regarded by God as light things. And so, every day, even for the non-Christian, every day that because of what's called the long-suffering or patience of God, every day that he doesn't die and he's given that additional day to repent and put his faith in Jesus Christ is mercy from God. And so we have cause to be thankful for God's mercy in Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be thankful for, above all else. Not only that, certainly, but above all else. And when all else doesn't seem good to us, we have that. One good, one sufficient reason for being thankful to this God, Jehovah, Yahweh, God of gods and Lord of lords. I encourage you to be thankful to Him today. To, you know, when you eat your turkey and your dressing or whatever else, maybe ham or whatever other thing you and your family has for Thanksgiving, be thankful to God. It's a really interesting thing, isn't it, to talk with other people about their family traditions and what they eat for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and things like that. The things that are special. And most families have some traditions, some do not. And especially in a congregation where we have people that have different ethnic and cultural and national backgrounds, some coming from countries where they have no Thanksgiving as such, just to know how it is that people do that. But while all of those things are things to be thankful for, never let your thankfulness just narrow down to those things in such a way that we forget that we have reason to be thankful to God, for His mercy endures forever in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your patience and long-suffering toward us, Your mercy toward us in Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful and have thanked You earlier for Your works of creation and providence. We especially thank You again for the work of redemption, for mercy to us towards Jesus Christ, for grace shown to those who deserve condemnation. Lord, we thank You that in Your mercy You are faithful to Your covenant, to Your covenant promises, things which we didn't negotiate, things which we don't secure by what we do, but is secured for us by Your promise and by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we thank You for that and for Your love and mercy in our soul. We pray that this day and each day we would remember to give You thanks for that above all else, but also to give You thanks for all else. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.